body of Christ. And so, Father, I ask today that you would just quiet our hearts and help us to be reminded that we are all part of the same body because we are in Christ. And it just doesn't happen here on this day, at this hour, this time. But it's something that should be a part of our life every day of the week, interacting with other believers. Not just as part of this assembly, but the whole body of Christ. We thank you. Guide us now, Father, as we just open your word, open our hearts, and we commit our time to you. We want to commit ourselves to you, to be your servants. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was David's age, and even a little bit younger, maybe some of you remember as well, having models, putting together model planes and such. And my twin brother always liked to have model cars. I liked putting together the ships and the airplanes, the Air Force planes. And so maybe you will remember things like this. They came in boxes, and they had pieces of plastic, and they were kind of put together, and you had these little points where they were connected, and you had to take your pocket knife and carefully, like a surgeon, extract, separating the piece that you needed, hoping that you didn't cut it or damage it in some way, because then you had to glue it. So this was part of a, that one was a plane, and this one was a ship. But you see how that was put all together. And you needed every part to make it work, to make it fit, to make it look like the picture on the box. That was important. As I was, I had one of those moments when I was shaving this week. And no, I didn't nick myself, but I had one of those moments where you think about, okay, here's a razor. And it's a simple structure, but every part is essential. You know, if I didn't have the handle and I just had the cartridge, how difficult it would be to shave. But if I had a handle and a cartridge, but I didn't have any blades, or if I just had the handle and blades without the protective side, it would be very difficult. Every part of the razor is important. And we could look at anything, really. We can look at an automobile. We can look at the toaster. We can look at computers, all those components. The designer, the person who designed that, had a purpose for all those components in it. Now, if you live in Florida, you may not think that it's essential to have heated seats in the summer. But you get into those cold months, January and February, and when it does drop down, you can be grateful that your car has heated seats. Can I get an amen? I like mine. It's not something I would have bought, but because it came with a car, praise the Lord, I'm happy on those 0-degree days. But we can look at all the things that are important. That's the way the body of Christ is made. Every part, every person within the body of Christ has a role to play. Not just here on this day, in this hour, during this time, but essentially through the whole week. And I think that's what Paul wants to convey in Romans chapter 12, and I invite you to take your Bibles and turn there with me, Romans chapter 12. I know the Sunday school had just verse 5. I've expanded it to include a couple of verses on both ends of it to kind of get the context of what Paul is trying to convey here. In chapters 1 through 11, Paul is laying down some very important doctrinal issues. He speaks about the fact that man is lost. He is condemned to die. He is a sinner, every one of us. Not one of us is exempt from that brand, that stigma, if I could use that word, Rebecca, that stigma. We are all sinners, Paul explains. We're great sinners, as a matter of fact. We have great sin. But then he goes on to explain that we have a great God. And that great God has a great love for us. And that great love sent a great Savior to provide for us a great salvation, to give us a great inheritance. Those are important truths for us to understand. And then in chapter 12, there's a transition. So he is done talking about the doctrine of where we were and how we can become different. He transitions with a word in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, if you have the NIV. Therefore, because we are new in a relationship with God, there is something essential that we need to understand. And chapter 12 really is about that relationship that we have. Because we have been born into a relationship with God, we now have a relationship that is part of one another. I just don't have a relationship with Him. I also have a relationship with you, and you with the person next to you and across the way. And there is a relationship when we are brought into this salvation, this great salvation that God has given to us. So the therefore opens up verse 1, and it calls us to consider this new relationship with the Lord and then this new relationship that we have with one another. I mean, I'm going to be looking at verses 3 through the first part of verse 6. I I've expanded it. We are members of one another. We're launching into this series on the one another passages. We need to understand something important, that we have a relationship with each other, and it's important for us to know what that relationship should involve, how we should act towards each other. And so today is really going to be launching into that series. There's a statement, if you don't get anything else out of the message, there's one thing that I do want you to get, and it's this. The degree or depth of our relationship with God will determine the degree or depth of our relationship with one another in the body of Christ. Bottom line. The degree of my relationship with God will, and the emphasis is mine, it's added, but I want to underscore it because it's important. That relationship with the Lord will determine the kind of relationship that we have with each other. Bottom line. That's why I think it's important for us to understand the one another passages. There's a second point I'd like for us to get. See, if I'm not loving and compassionate toward or forgiving of or praying or caring for or submitting or kind to or patient with, and the list goes on and on, then I need only look at my relationship with God to understand why my relationship with other people in the body of Christ isn't what it should be. There's a second point. So if you don't get anything else out of the message, there's two things. This and this. The one another passages are not suggestions to consider, but commands to obey. They're not kind of feel good. Today I feel like loving this person. Tomorrow I may change my mind. Yesterday, that person did me wrong. I am not going to forgive them. They are not suggestions that we can just go ahead and arbitrarily choose which ones we want to obey and which people we want to convey that one another passage to. They are commands for us to obey. We need to understand those two important principles when it comes to our relationship within the body of Christ. So you got that? So let's repeat this together out loud. The degree of depth of our relationship with God will determine the degree or depth of our relationship with one another in the body of Christ. Understand that. Understand that. That is important. So, membership into the body. People have a lot of ideas about what it takes to get into the body of Christ. Some people believe that you need to be a card-carrying member of a particular church or denomination, and that gets you in. You are in like flint, as the saying goes. If you're a member of the church, then you are a member of the body of Christ. There are others who want to suggest that, that's not important, or it might be, but others want to think that because your parents or your grandparents were part of the body of Christ, that you too, automatically, you're just... It's like born citizenship. You know, if your parents were born here in America and you were born here in America, then wow, you got citizenship. That's automatic. That's not the way it works. The truth is that there is only one requirement to become part of the body of Christ, and it's spelled out very clearly by Paul in what he opens up here. So if you're in chapter 12, beginning at verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body." There, did you catch the clue right there? Two words, in Christ. That's how you become part of the body of Christ. That's how you have membership into this body. It is in Christ. It's the only way. Not by membership in some church, not by your parents being there, not by good deeds or generosity to the needy. Not anything. In Christ, that's the important entrance, if you will, into the body of Christ. So that's it. Admittance into the body is, as we see in verse 5, in Christ. You know, I have a membership at a local gym. And I have a key fob. And so when I go to the gym to work out in the mornings, I just wave that little key fob over the access pad and a little green light comes on and I get in the door. If I don't have that key fob, I can't get in. And so I've had times when somebody's been banging on the window, you know, let me in, you know, and they tell you, if they don't have a key, don't let them in. And they're outside. I can't hear them, but I can only imagine what they're saying to me. But so I just close the window. Out of mind, out of sight. Out of mind. So, but that access fob gets me entrance into the gym and any of the facilities that are in there. You might have a membership somewhere. Doesn't have to be at a gym. It could be somewhere else. But it gives you admittance into and privileges because of. Some memberships are annual or semi-annual. You pay a fee and then that time comes up and then you have to pay it again. A number of years ago, there was a really incredible deal and I joined a lifetime membership with the NRA. I don't have to pay once. So all I had to do was pay once and I'm a lifetime member. All the privileges that come with being an NRA member are mine. Entrance into the body of Christ was paid once by Christ. That's all. He didn't have to go back and die again and again and again. And I don't have to continue to repeat the Lord, be my Savior every day or every year. Just once gets me entrance, admittance into the body of Christ. So, and there are a number of these that I want to show you as benefits. I'm going to go through these fast. They will be online, or you can get them from me afterwards as well. But these are the benefits that we have because we are in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:4, in Christ we receive grace. Romans 3:24, in Christ we have redemption. Ephesians 4:32, in Christ we have forgiveness of sin. Galatians 2:7, in Christ we are justified. Romans 8:1, again, you can get these afterwards because I know I'm going through these. Romans 8:1, in Christ there is no condemnation. Romans 6:23, in Christ we have eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ we are a new creation. Philippians 4:19, in Christ God supplies all our needs. Ephesians 1:3, in Christ we have every spiritual blessing of heaven. Colossians 1:28, in Christ we will be presented to God perfect. Romans 8:32, in Christ we cannot be separated from God's love. And John 15:7, in Christ we have prayer answered. Those are tremendous benefits because we are in Christ. And we all share them as the body of Christ. Every one of us has those benefits. Not any more, not any less. There isn't a status. I was at a gym membership at another place, and I had the basic membership level. And there were others who had a higher, they paid a greater premium, and they got to use things like the tanning beds and the massage chairs, and they had these new water massage beds, and I didn't have that. I didn't want it. But all of these benefits are ours because we are in Christ. I want to ask you a very important question this morning, most important question that you could ever be asked and answer in your lifetime. Are you a member of the body of Christ? Are you in Christ? Have you trusted Him for salvation? Second thing I want us to see in verses 4 and 5, the arrangement of members. the arrangement of members, because once we become part of the body of Christ, there is a role that we have. We don't all function the same way. You understand that, right? We don't have all the same responsibilities. Each one has been put in the body, and we aren't going to take time to it. I do have this passage again, and one of these days, maybe I'll get to it. Maybe I just need to do a whole sermon on it sometime. On 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which talks about how God is the one who has placed every member at His will for the benefit of one another. So there may be a number of us who have similar responsibilities, similar roles in the body of Christ, but that doesn't mean that your role supersedes someone else who has a similar role or a like role. And he talks about the members and uses the body as an illustration. My brother has taught anatomy and physiology at high school and college level for 35 years. The intricate details of the skeletal and the muscular structure of the body is just incredible. How the ligaments and the muscles and the bones all fit together and work together so that there's movement and action. And, of course, there's the nerve endings that, so when my brain says one thing and it goes to my arm to pick up that donut and eat it, there's a response. The body works together, and God is the one who has done it. And Paul, in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, tells us that he's the one who designed it. We aren't to go out and seek some other gift, some other responsibility. If God has fit you in that role, embrace that role. Exercise that role. Don't wish that you had what somebody else has because it might be a more important one by the perception of other people. No part of the body of Christ is not essential. No part of the body of Christ is unimportant. We all have a role. We all have a responsibility. And God says in His Word that it is to each other. Your role isn't for me. My role is for you. I hope you understand that. I hope you see that. There is a responsibility, and we are members of this body, and God has placed us in the body to help one another. And it's not just during this time again. It is throughout the whole week. As we see things that are going on, the needs that are taking place in the body of Christ, we are to reach out and to see how we could fit in. I'm not going to read this entire quote by Dr. Paul Brand. He talks about how there are different cells within the body. There's skin cells and blood cells, and they all work together. But what he does say, I do want to read this. My body employs a bewildering zoo of cells, none of which individually resembles the larger body. You know, think about it. We only see the skin cells and the things that are on the outside. We can't see within to see the cell at the cellular level, what's taking place. And then when you get to the DNA and all that is built into one strand of DNA, now scientists used to think that a simple cell organism was just that, very simple. But as they began to study it, how complex that is. So Brand goes on to say that just so Christ's body comprises an unlikely assortment of humans. Isn't that, you know, we look, that's pretty funny to me. We look around and that is true. It is an unlikely group of people who comprise the body of Christ. And here we are in this local assembly at 2500 Heartland Road, Fellowship Bible Church, and we are a local body of believers in Christ. And we are gathered as an assembly, and we are a unique assembly. And then we comprise just a small portion of the rest of the entire body of Christ. How amazing is that? Brand goes on to say, unlikely is precisely the right word, for we are decidedly unlike one another and the one we follow. The body of Christ, like our own bodies, is composed of individuals, unlike cells, that are knit together to form one body. He is the whole thing, and the joy of the body increases as individual cells realize they can be diverse without becoming isolated outposts. You understand what he's saying here? We work together. I just don't do my thing. I am not a maverick. I'm not a loner. I'm not somebody on the outside who's doing his thing, and I am supposed to be fit in the body of Christ, and I'm fit there by God for a purpose. And it's a unique purpose. And it may look like this part doesn't fit with this part, and this part over here may not necessarily have this. And like I said, Paul talks about the fact that in 1 Corinthians 12, as he's talking about the body, what if the whole body were just an eye? What if the body, you know, in the body, the hand can't say to the foot, I'm more important than you are. Or the ear, that they all fit together and there's a purpose. I hope you realize the important part that you have in the body of Christ. Because we are in a relationship with Christ, we are therefore in a relationship with one another. We are in a relationship with one another. To ignore it is to ignore a command. To ignore it is to abandon another for whom you have a responsibility. To ignore it is to undermine the purpose for which you were placed in the body of Christ, to question the wisdom and sovereignty of God who designed you for a specific role within the body. To ignore it is to call unimportant the role that God has for you in the body. To ignore it is to disrupt unity in the body. Sometime Friday, our dog was out in the yard, came in limping. Robin checked her out. Couldn't find anything. Vet appointment yesterday, x-ray, found out that she tore some ligament. She's old. And she does this crazy thing. When we're driving down the driveway, she runs in circles chasing after us. And sometimes she'll like come and slam into the car. So we drive slow purposely. Well, she came in limping. Well, apparently what we can surmise is that in one of those circle things, being old, she tore a ligament, and she's hobbling around. She's doing her best. She really needs all four legs, but she's trying to get by without the use of the one. How important it is for the whole body to fit together. Now, let's see. I'm behind here. Membership. There we go. We looked at this last week. From Him, Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Underline that. As each part does its work, you are an each. You are an each. And you have a part to play in the body of Christ. Just like membership in some organization requires its members to perform certain duties, so every member in the body of Christ has work to do. You have work to do for the benefit of the rest of the body. Let's look at the mechanics of the body. I've read this passage already, but just to come back, there are three that I think are pointed out here. The mechanics of humility. The mechanics of humility. See, I can't think that I'm more important than you. Just because I stand here in this role, you have an important role to play in the body of Christ as well. You have a responsibility, and it needs to be done in humility. I can't think that I'm greater. You can't think, and I can't think that you're less important. You can't think that your role is greater, or that, you know, some people think that, oh, you know what, I don't have a very important role, and so you may just think, well, because my role isn't very important, then I might as well not do it. You have an important role in the body of Christ, and we need to have humility. So just as membership into the body of Christ requires salvation found only in Christ, so membership in the body of Christ, and this is how it is stated in this passage, requires sober thinking, humility. So we need to remember that. Do not think too highly literally means to think over, or in other words, to have too high a valuation of who you are. We should never think that we are God's gift to the body, that it just couldn't function without me. If I weren't here, then boy, the whole thing is just going to fall apart. That is not a humble spirit in using your gift. But in the same way, it's wrong to have too high an opinion about your value in the body. It is also wrong to belittle someone else's ministry in the body. We are to exhibit humility as we exercise our role in the body of Christ. That's why Paul illustrated in Corinthians the absurdity of thinking that an eye didn't need the hand or that the head didn't need the foot. We must have a correct estimation of ourselves in relationship with the whole body. That's one problem. But another problem also exists that is those who think too little of their position in the body, that their role isn't important. Somewhat related to that third problem is that, and a third problem is that when someone claims a gift or ministry that they don't have, mine is unimportant, so I'm going to go over here and do this because this looks like an important job and I want it. And so the ego takes over. We need to have a humble spirit. God has given each person in the body a part, a ministry as his overall plan to benefit one another, and we need to do it in humility. There's a second mechanics that also we see in this passage, verses 4 and 5, and that is the mechanics of individuality. Yes, we are part of a collective group of believers, but you see words in there like many or each member identifying individuality, that I am a part, and my part is different and unique from someone else's part. Even though we may have similar roles, it is still an individual effort that we put forward in the body of Christ. We don't lose our identity, especially when there are others who function perhaps in the same role. The third is the mechanics of harmony. We have individuality on one hand, but then there is harmony as the body works together. That even though we are separate parts of the body, we all function together, and there needs to be harmony in what we do. You know, my foot does not at all look like my ear. But when I hear the train whistle down the tracks and I'm standing on them and my brain says to my foot, run, they need to work together. Humility, individuality, and harmony are all a part of the mechanics of the body. The final thing I want to look at is in verse 5, the ministry of the body. We can look at membership, we can look at the mechanics, but there is the ministry. And that is the role that each of us plays, again, towards each other. Let me remind you, it says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs, underline that word, highlighted in some way, belongs to all the others. Belongs to all the others. I belong to you, you belong to me. We're part of this body together. We're going to be looking at questions in the adult impact time. You know, what does being a part of the body of Christ mean to you personally? How have you been built up in the body of Christ? Why is unity so important in the body of Christ? How does this aid spiritual growth? How does our church encourage the use of spiritual gifts in the body? Those are questions that we're going to address during adult impact. John MacArthur writes rather pointedly, this passage destroys the notion that you can be fully committed to Christ and remain inactive in His service. You cannot be fully committed to Christ if you are inactive in the body of Christ. That's important. When you boil it all down, we can conclude the following. If you love God, you will obey Him. If you obey Him, you will serve Him. And that means in serving others. If you aren't sure where you fit into the body, you know, pray and ask the Lord and ask Him where He has placed you in the body of Christ. After World War II, a group of German students volunteered to help rebuild an English cathedral that had been severely damaged by German bombs. As work progressed, they became concerned about a large statue of Jesus whose arms were outstretched and beneath which was the inscription, "Come unto me." They had particular difficulty trying to restore the limbs or the hands, which had been completely destroyed. After much discussion, they decided to let the hands remain missing and change the inscription to read, "Christ has no hands, but ours." Christ has placed us as the body of His body in the world. We are His hands, we are His feet. We are His hands and feet to one another, as members of one another. How do we fit in? What is your role in the body of Christ? Not just today, not just as a teacher or facilitator or a board member or some other committee member, but where else do you fit in the body of Christ? You each have a role. I want to end with where we started. Repeat it with me. The degree or depth of our relationship with God will determine the degree or depth of our relationship with one another in the body of Christ. Have you entered the body of Christ? Are you a part of its membership? Are you engaged with others in His body, doing what God has designed you to do? How are you contributing to the body as a member? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for today, and we thank You for the ministry of Your Word, and ask that You would take this and apply it to our hearts and in lives, that we would understand the role, responsibility that we have with each other, that we are all members of the body of Christ, and we fit in somewhere, and we have a responsibility toward each other. And I pray that we'll understand that the relationship that we have with You determines the relationship that we will have with each other. And I pray that it will continue to grow in both arenas, both areas. We want to commit ourselves to be Your servants today, Father. And I pray that You'll continue to imprint Your word on our hearts. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.